As we gather on the penultimate Reformation Sunday, a year prior to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we encounter the familiar texts of Reformation Sunday, and we hear once more those words of St. Paul, that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. We break out the brass. A mighty fortress will bellow from the organ. We will chant the beautiful Isaiah in a vision did of old as our sanctus. The chancel and some of you here today are clad in red to signify this festive day. I might have even seen a Halloween reliver dressed as Martin Luther last evening. Beer stein in one hand and the Bible in the other. Some say that we should rid ourselves of Reformation Sunday altogether. They claim that it is folly to celebrate division within the Church Catholic. Others encourage its celebration only as long as it perpetuates an atmosphere of ecumenism and the goal of greater church union. Reformation Sunday can be problematic for us. But it doesn't have to be. Actually, I think it should come to us as a blessing, as a reminder of how truly free we are. I must begin with a confession of sorts because, like some of our historically prideful celebrations of this day, I usually read part of today's gospel with a little bit of smugness. In particular, when we encounter the line that they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone." I cannot help myself and beg the question, have they ever heard of the Passover? But as we sit here a little more than a week out from the election, the phrase seems all too familiar. With a little bit of rephrasing, but with the same misunderstanding, we might find ourselves saying something along the lines that we are Americans, and Americans live in the land of the free, or I'm American, and I'm absolutely free. And yet, neither is true. We might say this in other forms as well, each time priding ourselves on being free, when in reality, we are most definitely not. The culmination of this concept might just be those times when we go home after a real bummer of a day at work, the kind of day that pains us to the very core. We have had it up to here, and we're not going to take it anymore. And so we sit down and we start to plan and think through the many ways that we can tell our boss to stick it. But that's when the reality of all the things that truly bind us come to mind. How much do we owe on the mortgage? Do we have enough for next month's rent? How about our health insurance? How much is our health insurance? How's my health? Is it good enough to be able to afford on my own? Grumble all you want, but most likely you will end up at work the very next day. I am a descendant of Abraham, and I am in bondage to no one. Truth of the matter is that we are masters of self-deception, for we are in bondage. We are in bondage to our economic status, to our attitudes, even to our very own thoughts. We are so accustomed to our bondage that we actually believe that this is just the way that life works. And if this is the case, then the good news of the gospel becomes a stretch. The Sunday gathering around font and table becomes a farce, and it falls short of helping us in any way. And yet, here we talk about being free. We talk about it a lot, but we certainly struggle with being free and living free. We allow ourselves to be bound by so many things. We allow ourselves to be limited by so much so that we feel constrained by fear, among other things. My brothers and sisters, that is not free. We are people who do not handle freedom very well. Like our predecessors before us, the people of Israel, evident in their consistent breaking of the covenant, we do not seem to know how to live as a liberated people. We understand being bound. We understand being manipulated. We understand being told that everything is quid pro quo. But the whole point of today, the whole point of the gospel, is that everything that is conventional wisdom, everything that is accustomed to us, is wrong. It seems sort of odd to hear on Reformation Sunday, a Sunday that on the surface appears to celebrate the very fact that we got it right. But that is wrong. We are, as is true for everyone, in need of reformation. We are in need of being made new. We are in need of being reminded of what God has promised. We do not have the corner on the market when it comes to grace, and we certainly don't manage it any better than anyone else, to be honest. So what is this freedom we keep hearing so much about but do not see in our lives? It is the kind of thing that completely turns the world inside out and upside down. And boy, does this scare us so. It's like the character Javert from Les Miserables, who for all his devotion to the law cannot fathom the possibility of freedom from the construct of the law as he knew it to be. He had no ability in his tightly bound existence to leave any room for grace, any room for a gray area. This scares him so much that he takes his own life rather than to live within the tension of this upside-down, inside-out world. But it is exactly this freedom in Christ that allows us to live in the upside-down. It allows us to be merciful and gracious, to celebrate the bridegroom and his presence in our lives. It allows us to be free of all, yet servant to all. Moreover, the experience of this freedom manifests itself in the seemingly inglorious, in the ability of the mother, the teacher, the restaurant manager, or the assembly line worker to reach beyond our own self-love, to love their neighbors with true generosity. It is in the planting of apple trees, as Luther remarked, visiting the sick, staving off foreclosures, protecting abused animals, cleaning polluted waters, is in these that our freedom in Christ in the kingdom of God is made known in the here and now. Even more simply, this freedom helps us to see that we are treasures of God, that we can truly claim that we are God's children and are known by the Most High. And through Christ, we know God. My brothers and sisters, on this Reformation Sunday, let me remind you that we are justified before God, not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, and most certainly not in regards to how holy we may be assumed or expected to be. And we are free. Now I know that I haven't expounded on the doctrine of justification, and I might just be grasping at straws in my explication of freedom in Christ. And it just might be because I don't care. I don't care if you ever truly understand it. I don't care just as long as you experience it, as long as you experience the life that it describes for us. For as the storyteller and theologian Frederick Buechner put it, no matter how fancy and metaphysical a doctrine sounds, it was a human experience first. Unless you can somehow participate yourself in the experience that lies behind the doctrine, simply to subscribe to it doesn't mean much. Sometimes, however, simply to subscribe to a doctrine is the first step towards experiencing the reality that lies behind it. So imagine how Martin Luther must have felt when in his careful study of Romans, he discovered this incredible gift of God's amazing grace right there in Scripture. To fully experience the meaning of St. Paul's letter must have been much a glad surprise to Luther. That it felt like chains falling from his spirit. To finally be able to hear that our salvation does not depend on anything that we do, but strictly on what God has done already. That must have been the ultimate in glad surprises for a monk who was taught all his life that his salvation depended on his own works. So my brothers and sisters, let the chains fall. On this Reformation Sunday, let us celebrate the fact that we matter to God. And because of this, we should matter to one another. Raise a glass to the Reformation. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live abundantly. Live the new life that Christ has freed us to live. Because my brothers and sisters, we are free. Free indeed. Amen.